All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. Our next guest is Grant F. Smith. He is the, I don't know the official title. He runs the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy, IRMEP.org, IRMEP.org. And he writes for antiwar.com, and he's got one on the page today that's going to blow your socks off. Americans pay dearly to maintain Israel's nuclear secrets. CIA endangers new mech toxic waste cleanup. Welcome back to the show, Grant.
Hey, Scott. Good to be back.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here, and very happy that you'll be explaining the story behind this thing. First of all, what is new mech?
New mech is the Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation. It was formed back in 1957, headquartered in Apollo, Pennsylvania, and it was set up by a very talented physicist by the name of Zalman Shapiro with $4,000 to begin receiving U.S. taxpayer-funded, highly enriched uranium for reprocessing into fuel rods for mainly nuclear propulsion systems for the Navy. And the interesting thing about the Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation is that, number one, it was heavily investigated as a front company diverting weapons-grade materials to Israel in the 1960s. And more recently, U.S. taxpayers are now funding a $170 million nuclear cleanup of New Mexico's waste dump, which is in Parks Township, just up the river from the Apollo facility. So that's a little bit of background on why this is a current and relevant story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe we've discussed this corporation before on this show, Grant, and that you've done work on these guys in the past. This is where Israel was getting at least some portion of America's highly enriched weapons-grade uranium for their weapons program in Israel.
Right, but this is one of these stories that has not really ended. It's not historical in any sense because, like a lot of things, there's a lot that Americans don't know that the government does know about this particular facility. And what happened back on August 29th was the FBI, under a Freedom of Information Act request, seeking more data on David Lowenthal, who was in the smuggling business in the 40s and then somehow managed to come up with the capital to buy a defunct steel mill and start a, of all things, nuclear processing facility, released his file. And curiously, the Central Intelligence Agency stepped in and took out the majority, over 200 pages of the file, and said, no, you can't have that. And so the shocking thing about what was released is that it disclosed illegal handling of waste in the Parks Township waste dump, a spill that was caused, according to the wiretap, to improper handling of nuclear materials. And it raises the question of why the Central Intelligence Agency for so many decades has been refusing to release its files about the Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation, and it raises the stakes for Americans because we're not only paying for the cleanup, but the fact that there's obviously information in these classified files which is relevant to the cleanup, such as 200 barrels of previously unknown nuclear waste, that it would improve the safety and lower the cost if all of these files were out.
Well, it's amazing, really. You're telling me that the FBI documents that you have reveal the CIA is keeping information not just from you and your Freedom of Information Act request, but from the people doing the nuclear cleanup of where some of the waste is hidden for that they ought to be cleaning up that ain't going to get cleaned up for that reason.
Well, right. I mean, it just raises a lot of questions. The files, I forwarded them to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is in charge of this whole thing, and they've got something going on. It's under consideration what to do about this new information. But, you know, it's not atypical that the more secretive branches of government don't necessarily share relevant information with other branches of government. What you see in the case of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is they're probably about the most transparent institution in government in terms of their large projects. Everything goes up on the web, maps, you know, decisions, consultations with people, whether it's, you know, building a dike or, in this case, cleaning up a nuclear waste dump. But, you know, the argument here is reporters such as John Fialka back in the 1980s, Nuclear Regulatory Commission former officials such as Victor Galinsky and Roger Mattson, and I believe even Seymour Hersh, many people have tried to get the original Central Intelligence Agency files on NUMEC because the CIA was the only organization which was really able to see both ends of the diversion from Tel Aviv to Apollo, Pennsylvania. And they continue to refuse any public interest, academic, or whatever other access to their files. And so, you know, it's not idle at this point, historic curiosity about what happened in this particular case. It's now a public safety issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know. If you say nuclear plant to me, I just picture Monty Burns, and I know he doesn't care how thick those barrels are or what happens to that glowing green stuff or the people who come into contact with its remnants or whatever.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about this, and there is a lot of information in the public domain, you know, Zalman Shapiro, the head of this plant, when he was ordered to interview in front of Congress with a chairman of the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy, Udall, from back in the day, actually told them, hey, you know, we were storing some waste from our clean, sealed chambers, we were using cardboard boxes. And so, I mean, the fact that this plant was not in compliance with even the lax standards back in the day for handling nuclear waste is well documented. But again, the fact that one agency has a lot of relevant information that could possibly lower the cost and improve public understanding about this particular plant and arbitrarily refuses to release it is a problem. Because, you know, as you know, both the U.S. government and the Israeli government generally, and even the U.S. media, I've noticed this more and more, don't want to talk about the Israeli nuclear weapons program. And in fact, there was an event here at American University where the organizers, which had a local radio station involved, wanted to talk about the Israeli nuclear capability. And this is the same language that's used by Israeli journalists who have to function under the military censor over there whenever they talk about Israeli nuclear weapons. But what you see is that there's a general, whether it's, you know, Helen Thomas questioning Barack Obama for her first question to the president, or virtually any president with the exception of Jimmy Carter, they won't talk about Israeli nuclear weapons because there are so many, I guess from their perspective, pitfalls to doing that. But, you know, there are definite costs for that, what I would say, misguided and obsolete policy of ambiguity, and this is one of them.
Yeah, Pennsylvanians being irradiated.
Well, to put it in two words, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, they're well, yes, I'll disagree with you. I hear music.
Yeah, that's the Taxi theme song. I love it. All right, hang tight, everybody. It's Grant F. Smith from the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy. Boy, does he have some FOIA documents for you. Check his article out today at antiwar.com. We're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about this in just a minute. All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm on the line with Grant F. Smith from the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy. And basically his gig is he gets documents about what Israel's up to in America and has been for decades and decades in a row. And then he writes journalism about what he finds. Very important journalism. Now, if I understand this story right, you're telling me that there's this nuclear company which was financed under mysterious circumstances in the first place, Grant, called NUMEC in Pennsylvania, created back in the late 50s. These are the same people we've talked about before were diverting uranium for use in Israel's nuclear weapons. And you're telling me that the CIA is keeping secret vast amounts of information which could help the Army Corps of Engineers right now clean up nuclear waste left by this now defunct company. Is that right? Did I sum up your position correctly here?
Yeah, that was a good summary, but I would mention that not just the Corps of Engineers, but stakeholders in general, and that would include residents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the two townships where the facilities were located, people in the Pennsylvania Valley where the EPA is testing the water and beginning to really look at this particular dump site because it was, as the article mentions, a staggeringly inappropriate one. And yes, just the whole aspect of this company. You know, it was in an industry where the average, you know, annual revenues of its competitors were in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and it would be generating something like $7 to $9 million a year. It was mysteriously small and ill-situated in an abandoned steel mine, and so it raised questions when it was operating, and from hindsight, it more resembles it's what I would call siblings, which are front companies, shell companies established in the United States expressly and for the purpose of diverting weapons to Israel. And I mentioned some of the historic ones in the article, Service Airways, which was an Al Schwimmer, Nahum Bernstein operation to smuggle warplanes to Israel. I mentioned materials for Palestine. And I also mentioned some of the subsequent front companies, such as Milco, which smuggled nuclear triggers to Israel. And so this company matches the profile of a typical Israeli smuggling front company. And so it's interesting to look at with, you know, hindsight and perspective how it fits that mold and how it was operated and then ditched within about a decade, leaving U.S. taxpayers and then subsequent corporations that that purchased it holding the bag for all of the cleanup and health costs. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, your summary is accurate.
Well, I say hindsight, nothing. I mean, what you're telling me is the CIA is delivering you pages of magic marker blacking out what it says, which is that's what they knew the whole time, right?
Well, you know, there's a really interesting, basically, yes, there were some CIA officials, high officials, who were so upset by this, such as their director of science and technology, Carl Duckett, and also the CIA Tel Aviv station chief, who were very frank and very open about this being an Israeli job from the beginning. And so they have both given numerous, they both gave numerous interviews about their findings, but the CIA won't release any of their documents. You know, these two gentlemen are now gone, and there was a constant generation and analysis by the CIA, which affected all administrations from Johnson to Carter, about the NUMEC situation, and documents that have been identified, even the titles of the documents have been identified, but the CIA just won't release any of them. They'll go through some processes, they'll make you wait a year, and then they won't release anything, and of course, no excuses ever given except for national security or this one I love, you know, just by virtue of the CIA Act of 1949.
Well, then I say all these CIA guys are a bunch of sissies. Otherwise, they would have the courage to put it all up on WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I know you and Ray McGovern, or maybe you and Daniel Ellsberg, have been talking about why it is more people don't just step forward and do that. Obviously, the implications...
Cowardice. Cowardice, because they're little bitty babies pretending to be tough guys all day.
Well, the implications of this are huge. I mean, you know, it's much more easy to treat the American people like children and, you know, again, align with this policy of what's basically a mass deception campaign. The Israelis can do it. You know, they have this policy which the Cohen book about Amimut and Israel and the bomb by Abner Cohen explained in depth, which is just this policy of never talking about this. But in the United States, you know, we have license to talk about anything, and in particular, important things affecting the United States and, you know, basically governance and rule of law. And so when President Obama or President Bush or whoever refused to even address legitimate questions about the Israeli nuclear arsenal, in particular how it may be driving proliferation, that just means that they're treating the American people as though they aren't stakeholders and have no say and can't handle the required level of information to even make informed choices at the voting booth. So it's, you know, it's obviously, there's obviously a huge consequence to releasing information in this domain. But the point of this article is that now the stakes have escalated even to the point of public health concerns. And the little bit of information which trickled out, you know, back in August actually can help clean up a nuclear waste facility. So, you know, now it's beginning to look more like vanity and bureaucratic privilege rather than any sort of legitimate retention of these documents.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, as far as far-reaching consequences of the pretended ambiguity about Israel's nukes, just think about the effect it has on the debate about Iran, where all TV viewers in America are supposed to believe that tiny, helpless little Israel is prostrate before the massive Persian Empire bent on destruction, when, in fact, Israel's military could beat the Iranian military for a year in a row, and they're armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons, as the Iranians are not. They even have German submarines that it's probably a safe bet are floating off the Iranian coast in the Indian Ocean, if not the Persian Gulf, right now. And it's ridiculous to believe that Israel would need protection by anyone from Iran. And yet, because they won't say, okay, well, we all know that Israel has hundreds and hundreds of nuclear weapons. This ridiculous narrative reigns on and on and on for years in a row, decades in a row.
Yeah, it's time to change it.
Absolutely. Oh, and also, you know, the one more thing, too, is because it's a front company, that's why it's a worse mess than the average industrial or nuclear waste dump, right? Because they weren't actually in the nuclear business. They were in the stealing nuclear stuff business.
That's exactly right.
Well, good luck, Pennsylvanians, with that. We don't talk about these kinds of things except on Anti-War Radio with Grant F. Smith. Thank you very much. IRMEP.org, IRMEP.org.
Thanks a lot.